Boo, 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 boo. Okay, cool. We're on. Welcome to Front Row Geeks, episode 6 or 7. I forget now. Oh, I should really pay more attention to this. But you know what? You look at the title and you know what episode this is. I'm wearing cool glasses. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm a little tired. First day doing the MBA program. Oh, yeah, man. That's why I'm 3 weeks late. The new episode of the podcast. So I apologize for that. But you're going to get 2 in 1 week. Because as I promised, we're going to have 3 a month. And this Saturday, you'll have number 3. Of course, we waited 3 weeks between 1 and 2 of the month. But, you know, that's okay. But today on the podcast is Sita Navas. Oh, she was a pleasure to talk to. It's good to hang out with Alex, old friend from back in the college days. The first college days. Wow, there's 2 of them now. Oh. Oh, okay, that was some perspective I got there. Oh, okay. And I'm back. Okay, so yeah. So in the younger college days, that's where I knew him. And he has a lovely, lovely wife who talked to me about her art. And it was great. And you're going to hear more about it, so I won't get into it now. Just to know that she was great to talk to. Incredibly inspiring. To know her history, how she got into what she's getting into, and honestly, it just makes me feel better about anything I've been doing, because it's just, you gotta keep trying. And if I can convince any one of you to keep trying against sometimes not epic odds, but just inconvenient odds, or you know, forgetting to do your craft for 3 weeks, hey, keep at it, keep it going, keep it real. So, with my cool glasses, sunglasses still on, just some reminders. Don't forget the Twitch channel. David's working really hard. We got some cool things going on. I missed a wedding. That's how busy I've been. I missed a fake... you know, it was real to them. But it was a wedding in Final Fantasy. And I know we have the stream up. So I'm ready to go for that. So, check that out as we commentate on that. And the other games we commentate on. So, catch us on Twitch. Follow us, Front Row Geeks. Follow the podcast and look forward to our content. In the future, we're going to have much more. We got plans going. You're going to see a lot more coming out of the network. But in the meantime, Twitch and right here where you're at is the place to be. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, the people you like, tell the people you don't like to listen to Front Row Geeks, because that's where we're at. So without further ado, we continue to the next episode, whatever the title says. Let's go with 7. The 7th one we've done for sure, but I think this is episode number 6. One of these days I'm going to remember which episode we're on without having to look at it. But today's episode, Sita Navas. And go! No, not yet. You can go. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Front Row Geeks.
Sure, we'll make it work. You don't have nothing to worry about.
Okay.
But what did you guys end up doing for Christmas?
Well, I had a get together at my cousin's house, and the whole family gets together, and then from there I went to Alex's midnight mass because he's the music director at Santa Catalina.
Oh, which church do you guys go to mass to?
He works at Santa Catalina, on Oracle, like north of Tangerine.
Yeah, man, if you sang at it, I can't imagine how hard that must be, because I lectured at my midnight mass, and after lecturing, because all the hype, you know, getting ready to lecture kept me awake, but as soon as I sat down and I was done, I was like, oh, can I do this? We still have another 40 minutes.
He's got like...
I can...
Well, prepping for Christmas is like a 1 to 2 month long endeavor for him, because he gets the choirs together, he's got to rehearse and all that kind of stuff. So it was a big event, and it was really nice. It was a nice mass.
And our music coordinator, brings it all alive too. But when he does the softer songs, that's when it's really easy to like, okay, this is nice. Oh wait, I'm in church.
Okay, like, I can't fall asleep.
Okay, but. Yeah, that was, and then by the time we were done with that, we were going to go back to it, because we were at a family thing just before then too, mm-hmm. And by the time it was all done, we're like, oh no, let's just go home. We're tired. It's plus one in the morning. Mm-hmm. We can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was kind of nice because his midnight mass was at 9.
What?
Because it's an older community and they don't want to be up past their bedtime, you know, so they can make sure they can get up at 5 in the morning. The next
we day. Actually went to so. Midnight mass,
like real midnight mass.
Real midnight. Oh. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a totally different thing then. Mm-hmm. And then how your family holiday party was, because you said you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hispanic. I was at my cousin's for a while.
Was it a pretty large family that you
yeah.
go and visit?
Yeah. My dad's one of 7.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that sounds familiar.
The cousins, the aunts, the uncles, all the kids.
Their kids and their kids' kids.
Like, there's like 4 giant cans of tamales going on.
What kind?
Red beef.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the best.
Does your tamales have the olives in it, too?
Yeah, the olives and the raisins.
I'm not a fan of the raisins? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you put raisins. I'm not a fan of the olive mm-hmm. at all.
Really?
So every time my mom's making tamales, I'm like, don't make it with olives.
Just make like half without the olives.
I'm selfish. You're my mom. Make them for me. No olives.
Yeah, I love mine. Sometimes I'll save it till last. So I like it for the last bite.
I don't know what it is. And I mean, olives are probably really good for you, but I don't know what it is. But there's something about the flavoring.
It's like tangy, kind of.
Yeah, it just does. Not only, I have... There's 2 things that I have a problem with in my food personally, and it's pickles and olives. Mm-hmm. To the point where if I taste either one of them, I kind of lose my appetite afterwards.
It's like, what?
It's like, okay, never mind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which if I do a dieting thing for my New Year's resolution, I should consider just putting pickles and olives in all my food.
Yeah,
and
then, just
and then we'll be eating anymore.
I am not eating that anymore, and we're good.
So what you got for Christmas?
I got that, if you look over the fireplace, there's a Legend of Zelda clock on the wall. Handcrafted,
Is the one that's already ticking?
Hmm? Yep. Yeah, it's the one that's ticking up there.
Oh, wow.
And it's got, like, all the symbols from the, from Wind Waker, looks like.
Have you played the HD remake?
Yeah.
I got it. Because they gave it out a free copy when you bought Mario Kart, mm-hmm. and I haven't played that one yet.
It's excellent. They made some changes that made the game much, like they made the sailing a little more tolerable because you get the fast sail. And then the Picto Box, you can take selfies and post them to like the Nintendo, you know, forum thingy.
The community.
Yeah, the community. And then they also allow you to take 12 pictures now instead of just 3 at a time. So it makes the figurine quest a lot easier.
I never did the picture stuff mm-hmm. before, so it was, maybe I'll try it now.
It was well because as a collector, like just the inner collector of me is like, I have to get all the figurines. I don't care if I have to take a picture of that bird or that pig. I'm doing it, and then and then you have to sail back and forth to.
It's a wonder that Ganondorf doesn't pop up and say like, "Are you gonna fight me at some point?
Are you done yet?"
Like, I've been here, like, I could have destroyed the world, but I was kind of waiting on you mm-hmm. for impact, and...
It's like, dude, this is important to the story, hurry up.
Actually, one of my favorite parts of Wind Waker was the final boss fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, I feel like ever since that boss fight, I've defined every boss fight since, like, on that grading scale.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's just something really fun about... Man, the reaction time events were really good. Like mm-hmm. we're reacting against Ganondorf from that point.
And just the environment in general, with all like the water falling down, yeah, you feel like trapped in there. You're like, oh, and then, man, like, this is it.
Zelda helping you in the background. And yeah, it just there was something about that felt really good. And
just epic.
Like yeah, that's the word I've used. Like mm-hmm. and I feel like every boss fight has to be like that. Mm-hmm. Like at least something close to that.
Right.
For
right.
me to really feel that again.
Yeah. I definitely really relate to the boss fight from Ocarina of Time just because it was kind of like my first real Zelda game as a kid, you know, and so that boss fight was always just so, like, daunting to me when he comes out of the rubble, you know, when he turns into big old Ganon, yeah.
You're like, what? I had to do it again?
He's like, no!
He was already hard before. It already took me an hour to figure out that I had to reflect the fireballs at him.
Yep.
We had to do it again.
Well, I think I remember my first playthrough of Ocarina of Time. I did it without Z targeting because I missed the tutorial and apparently never figured it out. So it made the game like a lot harder than it should have been.
I think when I first played Ocarina of Time, I had like a Game Shark,
mm-hmm.
and because you know I was like 10 and oh Game Shark, I got to abuse that. I think I abused it to the point where I was able to get to like to Ganondorf like within an hour of playing the game. Nice. Somehow like it broke. It was like totally broken while you're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to that boss fight, I had no idea what to do because you didn't learn 7 levels before that, oh, you can reflect these attacks.
Right.
And then the only thing I had was a mirror shield because I put 2 and 2 together. I wonder if mirroring means this will reflect.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And no. And it's like, well, then why do I have a mirror shield? Why is that a thing?
Because the Ghost Ganon, the first boss as an adult, is kind of like a warm-up. So it's like kind of giving you a hint, like, this is how you beat that guy.
Yeah, if only I'd done that, then maybe I would have saved myself about 2 years worth. Because
aggravation.
Because then I went back and go, I wonder if I should play this game for real this time.
Mm.
And then it was a whole different experience at
yep,
that point.
Yep.
So when I saw you at Tucson Comic Con,
mm-hmm.
can you describe what your work was there?
What
were you displaying?
Well, I started it's kind of a long story how we ended up there. But long story short, we...
Tell us the journey.
Oh, I will tell you. Okay. For me and Alex, like, the last few months have been just a crazy, crazy journey. I went to school for art. And because ever since I was a kid, I was like, I'm going to be an artist.
Well, where did you go to school for that?
Well, I went to the U of A for visual communications and illustration. And it was a lot of hard work, and I got really burned out for a while. So it took me kind of about 4 years to really come out of the, like, post-graduation depression, you know, of, like, why did I get a degree in art? What am I doing? And
what is this for?
Yeah, I was like, why did I do that?
Why wasn't this feeling part of, like, the classes and how to deal with it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was like, why don't you teach this stuff? But, you know, it took a while. And, you know, Alex was really, really supportive, and he always kind of believed I could do it. And he said, if you don't try, you always have 100% chance of failure. And so what ended up happening was my sister and I were putting on a video game art show at her gallery on 6th and 6th. And I was like, okay, well, I want to do a painting for this, you know, because I really want to be involved. And I knew I wanted to do a Metroid painting, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was kind of stressing out about it, you know, because it's just the anxiety of, like, trying to get back into art, not knowing what I was going to do. And what ended up happening is I was at work one day, and a guy kind of, like, walked up, and he was talking to me, and I was looking at his shirt, and it was, like, a Mayan calendar. And I was looking at it, and I was just like, that is really, really fascinating. I love that art style. And then, like, something in my brain just, like, sparked, and I was like, that is a really, really cool idea. So I wanted to combine that really incredible, like, historic Mayan art style with some of my favorite games. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this Metroid painting, and I'm going to do it in a Mayan style. And it was really, you know, a lot of Google image searching and a lot of research and a lot of, like, sketches. And eventually I got to something that I was really happy with. So I worked on the painting, and it was all ready for the show. And so Alex was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna post this on Reddit. So Alex posted my painting on Reddit just to kind of see, like, what people
and
thought.
And this was the Metroid one?
This was the Metroid one. This was the first, like, Mayan video game painting I ever did. And people loved it. And people were, like, really, really going nuts for it. And it was kind of, like, eye-opening. I was like, because, you know, as an artist, you're your own worst critic, so you always criticize yourself and never think that things are good enough. And so just the overwhelming boost of positive feedback from Reddit was, like, really, really just reinforcing to
like, oh, okay, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, like, there's really something to this. Maybe I can move forward with this. So the art show went well.
It was you and who else?
And my sister.
And your sister putting on this art show.
Yeah.
So it was just in like an exhibition where you invited people to post their work?
Yeah, it was a group of artists. So it was me, her, and probably a good maybe 10 local artists as well doing like video game.
I'm so glad I was able to describe it in any detail because and the only reason I know is because my brother is also like an art major.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of his and I started picking up on the terminology for it. Because otherwise, I would have no idea what you're talking about at this point. Mm-hmm. Was there for that one experience?
Right, right.
It's like, wait, so galleries can be of many people, but not just you, but you mm-hmm. can invite. It's like,
oh. Yep. A whole exhibition of different artists.
I thought it only existed on the internet.
I know, right? so it was. It was really eye opening, and so I was like, you know, I really want to move forward with this. I want to see what I can do with this because there are. I started getting more ideas of things I could do, and I was thinking, well, Ocarina of Time is my favorite Zelda game. Why don't I do something like that? Like, what was the big moment for me in that game? So I did the Deku Tree, where Link receives the Kokiri's Emerald from the Deku Tree.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And I painted that one. And then, shortly after all this, my friend brought to my attention that the Tucson Comic Con was coming up. Wouldn't it be really, really cool if we did a bunch of work and then went to the Tucson Comic Con? After all the crazy hype from the Metroid painting went down a little bit, I was getting work done, and we were kind of prepping for Comic Con. So I did, the three boss paintings from Ocarina of Time, and then I did the Halo painting. And, Alex, again, posted it on Reddit. And again, just the overwhelming positive response from the Halo painting was just, it was, I can't even, describe how crazy it was. I mean, he spent, a day and a half
Alex,
just on the internet.
Alex, I didn't see any of this on Facebook. Where is it on Facebook?
Sorry.
So, yeah, and he, literally spent a day and a half just responding to people's comments and answering messages and stuff. And so, yeah, it was definitely a push forward in the right direction. And, now I have my prints on Etsy, and people are going to my shop, and they're buying my prints. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to remember exactly what I saw at Tucson Comic Con, because mm-hmm. it was kind of a blur to me. It was the first time I went to a con in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, I almost never go to cons just because I've never had time to do it until I made time to do it, especially mm-hmm. for this. So everything's still a blur from that day.
Right, right.
And I'm still trying to remember what paintings you had up.
Well, I had, I did a painting, the most popular one was the Master Chief and Arbiter back-to-back in that Mayan-themed art style.
Oh, okay. That one does sound familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And that would look cool.
Mm-hmm. And it had, the 343 Guilty Spark on the top, and then the little flood dudes on the bottom, and you had Cortana in her hand. There it is.
That is really neat. And you sell that on Etsy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have prints on Etsy.
I'm going to have to probably get one of those. In fact, I don't know why. There's, 10 people I know that I could have bought that for, and that would have made their Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I should have paid more attention to that.
Christmas was busy.
Yeah, we have
it was busy. Which is great. Because, it's, again, like I said, I mean, selling prints on Etsy is great, but just the idea of people like this enough that they want to buy it and put it in their house is, it's crazy to me. So it's definitely been a journey, and just all of this together kind of, made me decide, where I wanted to go with my art, what I wanted to do with my life. And so it's finally kind of, like I feel like my life as an artist is finally coming together.
Some of that doubt, just like, whoosh, okay,
yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
why I had that, but
I mean, I of course, like I said, artists are their own worst critics, so I still have those confidence issues sometimes when I'm drawing. I'm like, why does this look so terrible? I need to fix this, and I'll just erase the whole thing, But
even just doing these interviews, I know what you're talking about, because mm-hmm. When I have to go back and edit these, I like even just like wait, I don't know, have you ever listened to your own voice and go, oh, that's me?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. No, I'll listen to voice messages and I'm just like, I sound like
So yeah, at that point, it's like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Oh, mm-hmm. it sounds like I'm mumbling. What am I doing? Yeah. So I feel like voice is much easier compared to that. I have all the respect in the world for anyone with artistic ability, because that, I don't know how you can get there. I mean, you do, obviously, but wow.
It took a while. I'd say one of these paintings, just the painting itself, probably took about 20 to 25 hours to complete.
And like for this one in particular, for the Halo Master Chief, the Master Chief and the, oh shoot, I can't remember
Arbiter.
The name. Arbiter. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Side note, I'm really behind on my Halo lore.
Oh, it's okay.
But did you get the inspiration, like the way it looks right now, did that come from something else completely, or is how you shaped it just coming from your imagination?
Like the composition?
Yeah.
Well, I remember, I think it was Halo 3 when Master Chief and Arbiter like really came together for a common cause. And so there's like an image of them back to back, and so that would be a pretty cool image to do in Mayan style, because they kind of look like Mayan gods back to back.
And then you got like the symmetry going on with the sword and Master Chief's gun.
And it almost looks like he's gonna stomp on this flood spawn on the bottom there.
Oh, wow.
So I think it just all fit appropriately.
So what was it like signing up and creating a booth for Tucson Comic Con?
It was a lot of fun. Me and my best friend went to college together. We actually met in high school and took art classes together, and then we moved on to college, took classes together, and then we graduated together. So we've been kind of like colleagues in this adventure. And so we signed up together to share one table. And just prepping for it and making sure we got all the prints in time, making sure we had some kind of backdrop, you know, trying to make sure, because it's our first con ever, so we don't know what's going on. And so making sure we had everything together was kind of hectic. But once we got everything together, you know, we went there the night before, me and her and her husband and Alex, we all kind of set up the booth together. And it was just like really neat. Like seeing all our work hanging up behind two chairs, and then getting there the next day, and we're all excited, and we see people lining up. I'm like, oh my god, those guys are coming down, and they're gonna see our prints, and we're gonna talk to them about video games and nerdy things, and everything's so cool. It was like we were like kids in a candy store, because we kind of like took turns like getting away from the booth and going to see all the cool stuff, and because I'd never been to a Comic Con, period. That was like our first con ever.
Yeah, the only one I went to was more a professional thing, so like Sony will have something, but there's something different about going to like Tucson Comic Con or even the Phoenix Comic Con, where it's more normal people, people who are more about the passion than the business,
exactly,
for sure,
yeah,
and not just maybe kind of showing off, you know, their work and kind of exposing themselves to that.
Yeah, I just had a lot of fun like talking to people about my work and about video games and like how they make them feel, and I have a really, really cool story about this painting. Again, this Halo Master Chief painting. Someone from Reddit had seen it and messaged Alex and said that, you know, it really, really spoke to him in volumes because him and his wife met through Halo.
Oh,
and
nice.
He was always like, oh, you know.
That's something you couldn't say 20 years ago.
I know, right? It was like him and his wife met through Halo, and he always, you know, they always played the game as a team, and he always thought of them as like Master Chief and Arbiter. And so, like, he was like, well, seeing them back-to-back like that really, like, you know, hit a soft spot in his heart. And so he's actually...
He bought 20.
Well, no, I gave him one for free because he met us at Comic-Con to meet with my sister,
who's
a professional tattoo artist. And he is getting this piece on his back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, in color?
In color and everything.
Oh, my God.
Which is, like, the highest...
Tucson's sound paint... I mean... Two tattoos sound really painful to me, so... Imagining that on a tattoo, wow.
It's
that's
multiple sessions. I'm sure it's going to happen probably in February is when he's going to start getting work done.
Wow.
But it's like the ultimate compliment. You know, when someone wants something permanently tattooed on their body.
Yeah? Wow.
And so it was so cool.
And you gave one for free, yeah.
Go, yeah, no, I was like, here, just take it. Oh my god, thank you, this is awesome, I'm so excited. I was just like peeing my pants. I was like...
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, oh my god.
Is
his wife, or she said his wife, right? Is his wife going to do it too, or is it just him?
It's just him. She actually has a, I think she has a Master Chief tattoo on her arm already.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she's excited about it. He's excited about it. They have like a little baby too. And I'm sure if he knew what was going on, he'd be excited about it.
That's later, right? When Halo 9 comes out.
Exactly.
They introduce him at that point.
He's like, you know, son, back in 2014 when you were just a baby.
When will it come out of Halo Jr.? Who knows?
Halo Jr. So yeah, it's going to be really, really cool. I mean, I did the painting so my sister doesn't have to do any of the design work. And she just won Best Tattoo Artist in Tucson through the Tucson Lifestyles.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like the two sisters are coming together and working on this really cool thing. Yeah.
Powers combined sort of stuff.
But our powers combined.
I'm surprised. Actually, speaking of Captain Planet, I keep hearing rumors that they might do something with that. I actually would be okay with that if they brought that back in some format.
I'd watch it.
I feel like the original one was like too short.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how long it ended up lasting, but
I have no idea.
I feel like there wasn't enough.
I remember watching it and just being like, "Cool, they're gonna save the planet. That's great." And
there's five of them, and they got rings.
I know. I wanted one of those rings.
And they have some like large transformation sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Japanese anime for that too.
Yeah. I wanted one of those rings for sure.
So, and then another thing about the Tucson Comic Con, were you there all 3 days? Because it was a 3-day event thing, right?
It was a 2-day event.
It was 2 days?
Yeah, okay. And I was there both days the whole time.
Did you make a lot of sales there, or do you think it was just a lot more that drummed up for the Etsy?
It was, I made a few sales, which was great. You know, just enough to kind of like pay for the booth, pay for the prints, kind of stuff like that, because it's pretty expensive getting all these prints going and trying to like it's basically getting a business going, so it's the initial investment makes it pretty tough, but just the social networking alone was really great. I got business cards, talk to people, so it's like a job, you know, it's for sure it's a job. It was exhausting, but it was like the best kind of exhausted I've been in a long time.
And as far as working with the organizer of the con, mm-hmm. and like getting everything set up and signing up for it, how was that process?
It was pretty. Like I said, my friend and I shared a booth, and she was the one who signed us up. So it was pretty simple.
That's good to know.
Yeah, you sign up, you pay for a booth. They give you like a date as to when you can go set up. And you just, you go, you get your table number, you set up, and...
Aside from the space, what else did they provide? Did they provide the tables and chairs, or you gotta do that yourself?
Table, chairs. We had to provide our own backdrop. We had to provide, you know, our own way of taking payments, obviously. So, like, we had a square reader to take payments on card. We, you know, had our own water. We usually got our own food. They have people that walk around and kind of provide water if you're, like, basically by yourself and you can't leave your booth.
Oh, that's good.
Which is kind of nice.
Actually, it's really good to know, because one of the things I was wondering about is that, I guess I've been hearing that the last couple, 2 or 3 years that con's really been growing as far as attendance and who's showing up.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many years they've been at the TCC, but it feels like
it's been a couple of years.
I heard it's been recent that they've been able to book TCC as opposed to other locations.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, yeah, definitely it's getting bigger, so it was a really good time to get, like, jump on that circuit.
Yeah, and my hope was that the organizers would be really open to that you know, mm-hmm. still local, you know, that while they're growing with it, they're not forgetting where it all started.
Yeah, yeah, the organizers have been really really friendly, really helpful. I think the Tucson Con was I only really remember talking to like one guy who was organizing most of it, and he was really helpful. And really friendly, and he was always kind of like, I remember him walking around like asking, making sure everything was cool and okay, and if we needed anything. So yeah, it was awesome having multiple people there, and having our husbands there definitely helped, because if you have to pee, you know, you're gonna have to leave to go pee.
You won't be SOL at least.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can't just put a little sign up, you know,
be back, please don't take my art that I worked tirelessly for.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, it was just the whole experience was really, really awesome. It's really exciting.
Anyone in particular you networked with that you might collaborate with something, or?
Well, I have another a colleague of ours that was also at the Tucson Con. So her and her boyfriend kind of like worked together. So you know, we kind of would go over there and talk to them. They would come over here and talk to us. So just generally the social networking of like the whole con, you know, it just started to feel like a really like close-knit group of people, you know, people that I felt comfortable talking to, people that I felt comfortable asking questions. And since we were kind of new to the con, it was kind of, it just had a really, really good vibe. You know, I felt like we were surrounded by our people, you know.
I'm home.
Everybody likes the same stuff I do.
Or at least isn't going to judge me for liking it.
Exactly.
That's also nice mm-hmm. in and of itself.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, right now is a really good time to be a nerd. Me and Alex talk about it all the time, where it's a really good time to be a nerd. Because there's just so much cool stuff coming out, and people are like, so many more people are coming together to discuss these things. Whereas, you know, back in middle school, if I said, oh, I really like Zelda, they'd be like, what's that? Whatever. Sports. I don't know.
What are you doing in there for? You should be outside in the sun. Mm-hmm. You're getting vitamin D and cancer with us. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the malls. No, I don't want to play video games.
What? You're not going to do anything with that. It isn't like you're gonna be advertising and selling stuff on a webpage in the future. Mm-hmm. You don't need that.
None of that stuff, no. And video games in general has really, like, shaped, you know, who I am a lot. You know, I'm really grateful that my parents always let me play video games as a kid.
Here.
It's fueled a possible, you know, career path for me to as an artist.
And actually, that's a good question. Like, which came first, the art or the video games for you?
Well, it probably, I mean, as a kid, I always drew. I remember one of my first experiences is like, as a quote-unquote artist, I was really little, and I would just grab a bunch of markers in my hand, and I would, like, draw some squiggles, and I would get really excited, like, yeah, people are really going to like these. I'm going to go sell these on the street for a quarter. And I was like...
Oh, you went to sell art for a quarter on the streets?
I tried to. It didn't really work out very well, but...
I think most people don't even get that far, so...
I think I was, like, heading in the right direction with the right mindset.
Yeah, you're probably getting in the way of all the lemonade sellers.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was born in 86, which was a year after the NES, really? So it's always, like, been a part of my life ever since I was little. And most of my memories as a kid involve me and my sister listening to Hanson and playing Donkey Kong until 2 in the morning, you know?
Classic.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just, the art, I guess technically the art and video games kind of happened at the same time then.
It's just a product of when we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, yeah, I was born in 86 as well, and, I mean, earliest memories I have are playing on a computer
mm-hmm.
and keep just banging on keyboards, and then the NES, I got it for my birthday when I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And a broken arm couldn't keep me away from that machine.
Yeah, dude.
Just like... Here, you, Dad,
you can break your arm, but you can't break an NES controller.
Dad, use your right arm, and I'll use my left arm, and we'll make this work.
We'll collaborate. This is going to work. So yeah, just as long as I can remember. I mean, even when I was a kid, my drawings were very inspired by the things that I liked as a kid. Dragon Ball Z, you know, N64 games, Evangelion, like anime, cartoons. So, yeah, just in general, everything has been kind of, like, growing together.
And when you were in school, like, I mean, grade school and college,
mm-hmm.
how did you use your time during there to continue that pursuit?
Well, in middle school, I probably drew more than I studied. And probably played video games more than I studied. I mean,
both of those could be considered a form of studying, just saying.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, I didn't really do very well in my other classes in middle school. I'm lost. I'm sorry. I got lost in my thoughts.
School.
Yes. In high school... What was the question? I'm sorry.
Basically, how did you work your way through all this while you were in grade school and college?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, like I said, you know, I probably played more video games and drew more than I studied.
And that's where you got distracted, which I would have gotten distracted
there too. Distracted.
Oh, video games.
I was okay. Yeah.
All the video games I played.
But, you know, I just kind of, like, grew along with it. I struggled a lot in middle school, and I just had terrible grades. Then I got to high school, and I did much, much better. But, you know, video games and drawing were still my main focus. You know, I went to Tucson High Magnet School because I knew that they had a really good art program. I was like, well, I want to go there. And then after graduating from high school, I went to Pima for a little bit, and I continued to take art classes in between my gen eds and stuff like that. And then I got to college, and I knew I wanted to go into the same program that my sister did, because my sister graduated from the visual communications program from the U of A. And so I went into that. I got my degree, and my main focus for illustration was, like, character design and stuff like that. So I tried to, like, for a little while, I was trying to, like, create my own, like race of creatures, and I tried to build this world around them, because I was like, well, maybe, you know, for a little while, I wanted to turn my art and, like, my love of video games to, like, I wanted to pursue, like, working on video games at some point, which, you know, that it was kind of hard. I didn't know how to do the right social networking. I didn't know who to talk to or what to look for. So that kind of, like, fizzled out a little bit, but I still loved doing art, and I still loved playing video games, and I still loved, wanting to pursue something like that. But, like I said, after college, I got really burned out. It took a little while to get out of that little hole.
So what kept you busy in the interim?
I worked full-time. For a little while, I worked part-time, but then I started working full-time at Bookman's, which is actually pretty...
Yeah, so at least that environment is a little more conducive to, like, the weirdness, the cool weirdness of the world.
Exactly, yeah. It was actually... it's a really good job. I'm still there, but now I'm part-time. But they just, in general, have been very supportive of, like... me wanting to pursue something else. You know, they don't expect me to stay there forever. So what ended up happening is when everything went crazy with the Halo painting, that was, like, you know, the Metroid painting was great, but the Halo painting was a really, like, eye-opening experience. And so I went to them, I was like, you know, all this crazy stuff is happening, and I really have decided what I want to pursue in life, and I can't, you know, really focus on it if I'm still here full-time. And so they actually let me go to part-time.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Which is awesome.
And really brave on your part, too, because...
It's terrifying. I'm super scared. Like, it's definitely wasn't an easy decision. But, you know, Alex has been really supportive. He's been really, he always kind of believed I could do something. And so he's been supportive in my decision to do that. And now I have to believe in myself that I can do it now. So it's...
I'm probably gonna have to explain in the intro to this that that all the bangs that are going on is not gunfire, that it's your fireplace.
Oh yeah, sorry, we don't have heat in our house right now, so that's our heater.
Which I didn't really, I was ignoring it until, like, just now. It's like, wow, if you listen on the headphones, it looks like we're being attacked, and we're just calmly enduring it as we're going through.
Yep. And I'd like to mention we don't not have heat because we're both artists. We don't not have heat. Because
whoa, double negative. Whoa.
We lack heat, not because of a lack of money, but because of a laziness. There we go. Thanks.
our AC/slash heater unit is 23 years old.
We just spent all this talking about how hardworking she is, and you counter it
husband.
With a...
Husband is lazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Husband is lazy. Husband is working hard social media editing for her.
Uh-huh. Playing Isaac.
Yes. Finding Isaac and social media. Can't be working on air conditioning yet right now.
No, it's too busy. No.
There's way too many video games to play.
You know, in your defense, if it wasn't for the fact that we live in Tucson, Arizona, there might be a problem with that, but yeah, it's survivable here at least.
They gave us an option when our air conditioning unit broke in the summer, and they said, we can bypass your circuit board and we'll give you air conditioning until the end of the summer. But you won't have heat in the winter. And we went,
Do it.
You got
do
it.
It.
Do it.
Do it.
Easy. Next question.
For it.
Yeah, it's a little chilly in here. But
if it makes you feel better, I feel okay.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I'm not all ill affected.
Good.
But I'm sorry for you. My empathy goes out to you.
Thank you. We'll survive. We're probably gonna get someone to look at it, I think, tomorrow. See what we can do about it.
Because I think the last few days has gotten a little chillier for sure. But I mean, there was that, like, week Thanksgiving got really cold, but then it's like it warmed up again a little bit, and then this last week seems like it's gotten pretty chilly. Mm-hmm. Like we were outside on Friday with some friends, and we had to get a fire going because it was unbearable without a fire, and because they were drinking a little bit, there was no going inside because we had to stay outside. We had to endure this. How can we endure it?
We're
fire
doing it.
fire's how we'll do it.
Yeah, nice. But you just kind of spin around like a rotisserie to make sure your back is warm. Then your
yeah, so that's what we ended up. I mean, I had a pretty nice jacket. Mm-hmm. So I was okay with not always having to turn around, mm-hmm. which was good because whatever we were doing caused a lot of smoke. Mm-hmm. So as of today, everything I was wearing that day still smells like smoke. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to put it in the wash. But it was only in like the last like 5 minutes that we endured the cold where I was like, okay, maybe I should spin around like rotisserie style and see how that works. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, other than that, as long as the fire was raging, it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, yeah, it's having a fireplace is actually, you know, it's a nice little blessing. Because it makes it cozy and...
Yeah, it looks really nice.
It's nice, yeah. And then we just kind of ignore the fact, the reason why we had to light it.
I don't think I've been in a... lived in a house that had a fireplace in a long time. That house that I have doesn't have a fireplace. The only time I've ever really get to play for fireplace is, like... There's this place we go to for on vacation mm-hmm. In Vegas that has a fireplace in the room. And it's one of those, like, you flip a switch and it's, oh, there we go, we got a fireplace. Not old-fashioned, okay, I got to put something in here, I got to light it. It's nice and modern, just flip a switch and you got mm-hmm. fire.
Nice.
And I'm okay with that because I shouldn't be allowed to play with fire.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a computer science major and people let me barely touch computers, so maybe fire not so much.
It's a pain in the butt to get those things started naturally. It's like, go find some twigs. Go find where's all the dry stuff.
Come on.
It's a pain.
So what? So this seems like it's keeping a lot of your time a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Is there projects on the horizon that you're looking forward to?
Probably more than I can even like think of right now. I have a whole list. Of things that I want to work on in the immediate future. I might spoil a few right now. I'm thinking of doing a Super Smash Brothers painting of the original 12. Nice. I know. And we watched Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas Day evening with my sister. And Alex had mentioned that it would be really, really cool if I did a Groot painting.
Question, have you seen the movie before Christmas?
Hmm?
Or is that the first time you've seen the movie?
It's the second time I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
the third time he's seen it. You know, the scene where, you know, Groot is branching out and about to protect them in that little ball. I know. I'm crying.
So, I know what's going to happen, but...
yeah. It's like probably one of the most powerful scenes in the movie for me, so I'm definitely...
We are Groot.
No!
We are
Groot.
No! The emotions. Mm-hmm.
All the feels.
Okay. It's a Guardian Gallants movie and I'm about to cry. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
So I got... Nope. That is on the horizon. I've been working on the idea of a Chrono Trigger painting.
I have never finished that game. I'm sorry. During that time, I switched to Genesis and I didn't get a Super Nintendo, so...
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I forgive you. There's like 50 endings anyway, so it's... I think I've only really gotten like two, so...
Really? There's that many endings?
Well, I don't know how many exactly.
There's more than two endings?
There's more than two endings. There's a lot of events that take place in the game that you can change the ending.
Gotta try that.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the other 50 games that I haven't gotten to
yet. We have like a whole shelf of games over there that I haven't even played.
And yet you're playing Isaac.
And he's playing Binding of Isaac.
I don't blame you for that. Oh my god, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
Is that a new one?
Hmm?
The spinning circles going
everywhere? Yeah, that's a new power-up.
It's really not.
It's actually really hard to use.
I've been seeing it on the Steam sales lately, that this game is on sale, and I've mm-hmm. been like, don't get it. You're not even done with Inquisition yet. Don't get it. You don't have time.
You do have time.
Okay, there's like three games that I've bought in the last 2 months that I haven't touched yet. I got the new Smash Brothers game.
Nice.
I haven't touched it yet. I haven't even booted it up at all. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of purposely waiting for my brother to come visit me to play with him. But that's more of an excuse, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then the re-release for Kingdom Hearts came out. And
nice.
I haven't played that yet either. And it's just, that'll probably sit there along with everything else for a very long time.
Right. And I'm definitely working on quite a few ideas. And every time, like, you mentioned Kingdom Hearts, like, that would be a really cool painting, too, you know, in the Mayan art style. So there are a lot of...
Once that goes up, give me a call. I'll buy out your store, because
awesome.
I love that stuff.
That'd be great.
Oh, I love Kingdom Hearts stuff.
Sweet. You know, there's a lot of different directions I can take it. I definitely want to branch into movies. You know, video games are great, and TV shows. Basically anything that someone can suggest, I'll put it on a list, you know, and
see where the creativity where takes you, I guess. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that in one of your initial thoughts when you did this whole thing, like from school age, was getting into video games. Mm-hmm. Is that still something you're still looking into? Or is this art-only side more you're comfortable with?
The art-only side is more of my main focus now. You know, back in high school when Metroid Prime came out, that was really like when I was like, oh, I really would love to work on a game like that, you know? But then, after college, I kind of like fizzled away from that and it was more like, oh, maybe I'll illustrate children's books or I'll do this and stuff like that.
And you think that was more of a change in just what your desires were at that mm-hmm. point or
yeah.
something
yeah, I
else?
I think so. And, the way some of the video games are going right now where you spend more time waiting to download a 15-gigabyte update rather than actually playing the game is kind of puts a damper on those.
Master Chief Collection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have it, so I can't relate. I only play games that work the first time, like Dragon Age.
Don't brag about it.
You know, it's. I think it's more of I miss the days when you can just pick up a cartridge, put it in, and play it, rather than having to go through updates and then find it in a menu and then get to play it. Maybe if it's working properly.
Or that where they're doing that new thing they're doing lately, where we'll give you this content on the CD, but you have to pay us to unlock it.
Yes.
Like come on,
Destiny.
Yeah, that hurts just knowing that. You'd mm-hmm. think they would at least leave it out and then have us download it later.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's more like insult to injury.
Exactly.
On top.
So I'm me and Alex are both a little frustrated with the way the video game industry is going. And there's a reason why we have 60 Super Nintendo games and 50 N64 games. And you know, for Christmas, my sister was like, oh, I want to play Mario RPG. So she put it in, turned it on, and it was the same as it was 15 years ago. You know,
all its glory.
Or when I don't even know when it was released, but yeah.
Neither do I. In the 90s.
It's still.
Maybe not even that.
As it was. It's like 95 or something. But yeah, it's still just as good as it was. And there's something about that that's really nostalgic. And I think that's why mostly my paintings are really focusing on like the classic video games. But you know, I do want to move into like the new stuff, TV shows, movies, stuff like that.
I was about to say, like, I'm not as big as in Halo as a lot of other people are. Mm-hmm. So, is Halo old enough to be considered classic mm-hmm. at this point?
Like, yeah, Alex, did it earn that yet? 10, 12 years now? Okay. I think it celebrated its 10-year anniversary with the
it's retro
Combat now. Evolved HD remake. So it's pretty old now.
It is kind of hard to imagine anything, but anything after the N64 is now being classic.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, yeah, Xbox, the original Xbox.
GameCube's getting pretty close, too. I think it's on 12 or 13 years
now. It's hard to believe that. Time has passed for all that.
I remember getting one for Christmas. When it was new, and I got Luigi's Mansion and Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, so good.
It was a good Christmas.
But, I mean, I know I mentioned Isaac like 10 times already, but at least we still, I guess, to that point that you're trying to make, the indie scene really seems to at least mm-hmm. keep that kind of that subculture
that retro
alive,
feeling alive. Yeah, yeah.
Like there's still a market for that, for those kind of graphics and that kind of creativity
yeah.
and art, and just more simplistic gameplay.
Yeah.
There's still stuff like that for.
Yeah, well, our PS4. That's not Candy Crush. Our PS4 has probably seen more playtime with indie games that we downloaded from the PlayStation Network than stuff that we bought in the store and brought home.
Yeah, I've only played one main game on my PS4. That was the remastered version of The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Since I haven't played anything else but that the entire year that I've had it.
I believe it.
I mean, new life cycles, so I guess that sort of makes sense. But
mm-hmm.
I have to wonder if I pulled the trigger too early on that one. I mean, and it's like I have a lot of time to play the other indie games that you can download on that too,
right,
because
right.
it's like same thing, mm-hmm. like backlog.
Exactly. Yeah. There's, like I said, there's probably a good half of the Super Nintendo games that we have as a collection. I probably haven't even played them. They're just kind of there because they're cool, and I'm excited that we have them, and it's just, it's a collector thing, you know. I haven't played a whole lot of Mega Man, but we have most of the Mega Mans on the Super Nintendo.
You got any handheld games? Like a DS or something like that?
Oh, yeah. We got a little bit of everything.
Oh, I love games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they'll get the priority in, during Christmas time more than binge-watching TV, which I should be binge-watching a lot. I have like 20 shows that I want to watch, but once you're getting on the video games, like, oh, no, I'm having my TV show right here. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Have you binged anything lately?
Alex, what did we watch recently? Wilfred?
Yeah,
Wilfred. We finished
watching Wilfred.
Don't tell me you're going to add another show to my queue. What's that?
Oh, it's it's about a guy that whose neighbor has a dog, and he sees the dog as a guy in a dog suit, and this
what?
Guy in a dog suit like does all kinds of things to mess with his life. And like all this shit happens to him. it's an adventure of him trying to figure out if he's just crazy or if like something else is going on. And the show takes a lot of like twists and turns, and it's hilarious.
Is this a BBC show?
No, it's got what's his name, Alex, the main character, the main actor,
The guy from the
Elijah Wood,
the original Hobbit.
Oh, what?
Elijah Wood's the main character, the main actor. And that's as far as I know. That's the main. There's cameos and stuff. I think Robin Williams made a brief appearance in that show.
Oh wow! I've never heard of it before today.
It's hilarious. You should definitely check it out.
It's a mind fuck.
It's a mind fuck.
Is it like half hour show?
It's an hour half hour long episodes. Right? Oh, okay. Is it half hour now?
It's a great show. Dude. Just check it out.
Yeah, there. Okay. Another thing to add to my list on the everyday
old. Binge it on Netflix. It's worth it.
I need to quit my job and just watch Netflix
TV.
And Hulu TV shows. But
you still have a job? I thought everyone just binge now.
Huh?
I thought everyone just binge TV. That was.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah, that should be an occupation.
I wish.
if we consume enough Netflix and Hulu, that should help stir the economy, right?
Yes. That sounds like it makes
we can
sense.
Go buy stuff in the meantime. That we should be allowed to be paid for that. Mm-hmm. I'll hope for that day, but in the meantime, I'll do my three jobs and mm-hmm. be happy with it.
Yeah,
and just play games 1 hour a day at midnight before I go to bed.
Try and squeeze it in before bed. My DS is basically my bedtime story at night.
DS, can you read me a bedtime story? Mm-hmm. Sure. Just press the button. Press A to continue.
Thanks, Yoshi's New Island. That was a great level. Good night.
Let's see. Oh, I had another question. Now I can't think of what it was. Oh, I'm stagnating. Oh.
We can just cut that out. It's okay.
No, I wouldn't cut it out. I have integrity. Everyone's going to know I screwed this up by pretending I had a question, having a question, and forgetting the question. And yeah, everyone's going to know this very human moment that I'm having right now. Mm-hmm. But, because you said you're going through new projects. Mm-hmm. Any of them you think are going to come out pretty soon as far as early 2015?
What I'm working on right now is I'm actually working on a Christmas present for my sister. I promised her I would do a...
Am I going to have to make sure this doesn't go out before then?
No, she knows. She knows what it is. It's a Booster from Mario RPG. It's like her favorite character from that game. And when we did that video game art show, there was a guy that did like 16-bit paintings where he would like paint all the pixels. He said he was going to do a Booster painting, and she got really disappointed that he didn't. So like ever since then, I had that little idea in my head that I would do one for her.
I will do it. I will champion this.
I'll do it. So, but I'm doing it in the Mayan art style rather than the 16-bit paintings.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I'm sorry. Too bad.
Are you going to do any other cons in the future?
Yes, I'm actually, I am on the waiting list for FanFest next year and the Phoenix Con, but I probably won't get in until about 2016 just because the waiting list is...
Oh, really? Even now they have a waiting list for those?
Yep. So I'm on the list. I'm planning on going. There's a nice little local monthly cons that happen here in Tucson at the Maker House.
I didn't hear about those.
Mm-hmm. It's downtown on Stone, I think. And my colleague that I saw at the Tucson Comic Con goes there almost every month, and she does pretty well over there. So I'm going to just start getting on all the circuits of all the local cons, and, you know, it's a job. It's a business.
I actually went to FanFest when they had it earlier this month, and that was, I guess that was the first time I ever had that.
Was it pretty big?
I don't know how to gauge that because my only two experiences are Tucson Comic Con and then the professional one in San Francisco. So it looked big to me. There's plenty of stuff to do. I didn't have time to do it, all of it, and I felt like, oh man, I should have planned better for being here. So I can only imagine that the main one in June or July when I think it's Comic Con will be pretty big and time consuming.
Right. I plan on making this my full time job, so I'm definitely going to be getting on all those circuits, doing all the social networking, and making it work.
Cool. Where can anyone find your stuff online?
I have an Etsy shop. The shop name is Retro Nerd Studios, and you can buy any of my prints that I have available online there.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And at this point, anything else you want to plug as far as your projects or what you're working on?
No, I think we actually covered everything. The only thing that we're working on now is we have a second bedroom that's been almost storage for the last couple years. We're finally cleaning it out, and I'm going to get a drawing desk and like make it a home office.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, everything has happened very, very quickly, like literally within the last 5 months. So making that into home office for the both of us, you know, Alex as a musician and me as an artist.
So then the last question I have then is that, because it's like, it sounds like you had a big old dream to get to this point, you know, as far as just like, what, for anyone listening, what would you tell someone to, as far as pursuing this kind of thing or just their dreams in general?
Well, it's, you know, sometimes it's really hard to get to a point where you decide what you want to do. And I guess the most important thing that I've noticed is having people that support you and care about you is probably one of the biggest things. You know, Alex has been my biggest supporter, and he's been really helping me out a lot. My best friend Sume has been kind of working on this journey with me because she's an artist too. We graduated together. My parents have always been really supportive of me being an artist. You know, so it's just surrounding yourself with the people that care about you and that support you and that believe in you. And Alex always tells me, like you said, it's if you don't try, you have 100% chance of failure. So if you at least try, you can say that you did something.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's hard words to follow, though, because I struggle with confidence all the time.
Alex, are you going to have your own Etsy store where you just sell advice cards and, like, plaques? Okay, that idea is free, Alex. That's for you. No,
you're not getting commissions on that.
If it works out, I'll just know personally that I help with that.
Personal fulfillment.
Yeah.
Hey, that's an advice card I can sell on the Etsy.
There you go.
Personal fulfillment is worth more than commissions.
Thank you, Alex. And Sita, thank you very much for coming on the podcast with me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
All right. Adios, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of Front Row Geeks. Adios.